Keep it going.
Have you ever been so lonely that it makes you want to die? Have you ever been so empty that it makes you feel like that? Have you ever been so happy that it makes you cry?
Oh, boy. Now this is wonderful. Now this is wonderful.
I like that heel hazer.
You know, if he sticks with it, I think he might have a future in the biz.
Future in the underworld biz.
Wow.
It's very rude. Am I loud enough to you guys? Because I think
you
it's just...
You are bombastic.
Okay, I think it's just this section over here, this area, because every time you guys are considerably louder in my headphones than I am.
I've been known to go back and listen to old episodes of this here program.
And?
Which would be the After Disaster. Welcome to the After Disaster, everybody. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Anderson. That's Mike Carano. That's Ty. I'm making the weird whistling sound.
I whistle now.
Makes me uncomfortable.
That's nice. That's your catch. That's
yeah.
I whistle now.
But every fourth or fifth episode I go back and listen to from, like, you know, 3 months prior, the levels are so off that it's almost unlistenable.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
But I am so goddamn narcissistic and love to hear our show. I continue. I fight through it. But
when yours are really loud, you're fine.
Oh, that's when it's the worst, is when I'm not loud. Oh, my God. I need like a Tyler doll.
You hear yourself
doll.
Making a valid point in the background, and you're like, no.
I've listened to a couple of episodes in the past like 2 or 3 months, and one, I was so loud it was breaking up, like distorting. And the other one, all three of us were so quiet, I had to turn it off immediately.
Well, no,
like,
then
this
what
isn't
you do
gonna
is
correct.
You just turn it off.
I know it was a pod. I know it was an issue with an upload or something.
Yeah, there was one that was really quiet, and to normalize it would make it completely unlistenable. Yeah, so it's kind of like... You either need really nice headphones or like a
speaking
amplifier
of unlistenable. Everyone else hearing that vacuum clear?
I like
yeah.
it.
Don't
That's
like
a new
it.
Thing I do. I play vacuum sound effects in the background.
You know what I did today? I vacuumed my car with my super high power Miele. And
that's like four podcasts in a row.
Listen. So
I've never heard this story.
Here's the tragedy that happened today.
I'll hear it in 3 or 4 months. Though, for
it's
the
so
time.
Powerful. It's a pain in the ass to vacuum the car because it sucks the rug, and I have to keep holding the rug down and stuff. So I stuck it in between my seats, and I saw some shiny object. It wasn't a coin. It looked like a key or something. Just go whoop, right into the vacuum. And I was like, mother effer.
Gone
now
forever.
I have to friggin' figure out. I'm not going to cut the bag open to try to get it, but I was
Did
like, Jesus.
Boom.
Yeah, it was a big metal thing. It might have been like a USB drive or something.
Why don't you open the bag?
Because it doesn't, they don't open. They're sealed.
What?
They're made in Germany. They're these funky bags.
Oh, no.
Not open the bag!
It may have been one of these USB keys, and I don't know if I'm going to cut it open to look for it like it's
What if
a
you open it up
guts?
And there's just tons of swastikas all over the inside of it?
Swastikas?
Well, that's how you're supposed to say it. I don't like to say it properly, actually.
That would be totally weird.
Swastika
sounds like something at an Indian restaurant. Like, I'll have your finest swastikas.
You know what? It's one of those things that I learned. That's the way you say it appropriately. And I actually made a mental note years ago. Never say it that way. Because, first of all, everyone will correct you. And you'll sound like an asshole. And then you'll be the guy saying, that's how you really say swastika. Swastika. But you don't want it. Of all the words to know how to say properly, swastika is not the one.
No, there's a couple.
That I want to know.
There's a couple of worse ones.
It's Niger.
That's like trying to explain to people how to properly pronounce Ku Klux Klan or something.
It's Kla,
yeah.
By the way.
Thanks.
Kla. You must have missed the meeting.
It's funny that
sorry, it's been a busy week.
It's weird that we all know
Hi,
what you're
what
talking
was that delivery?
About.
Sorry, it's been a busy week. Okay, I'm sorry.
If you just say Klan, everyone knows what you're talking about. But if you say Klux.
I used to say Ku Klux Klan, but it's Ku, right? I used to always put in Klu.
It's Klu.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I kind of like not knowing that. All right, Ooh. So I learned today that it's valedictorian.
Yeah.
I thought it was valedictorian. That shows you how smart I am.
I always thought it was valedictorian.
Wait till right now, Mike.
Absolutely till right now. I would try to
and
I was about to lie and pretend like I figured it out a few years ago, but right this moment I was like,
what's worse is I learned it on an NBC primetime television program, and they weren't even teaching it to me. They just used it so many times that I'm like, hey, are they saying dictorian?
And let me
is
ask you
dick?
This, because you want to hear.
Is it dick?
I got to stop saying you want to hear how dumb I am, because it's obvious. If I were watching that show and I heard that, I'd be like, oh my God, I've been wrong this whole time. But guess what I wouldn't do? Look it up.
No, I didn't look it up. I turned to the wife.
Talk about it on a podcast.
I turned to the wife, who was a finalist for a valedictorian, and I said, "Is it Dick or Vic?" And she's like, "Are you kidding me? This is what you married. Sorry, honey. This is the piece of shit you married. Apologize."
You should have told her you're just testing her to see if she's up to your standards. Your intellectual equal.
All right, before we move forward, we got to move back for a minute here. How many goddamn podcasts? I'm sure there's plenty of them. Plenty of them out there. That
how many podcasts are there?
Openly, at the open of the show, about how they all listened. All of us were talking about how we all listened to this goddamn thing. None of us should ever admit that to each other, let alone the listeners, let alone on air. God damn it.
Look, there's only so many This American Lives and Money Morning podcasts I can listen to at some point. You got to go back to the good stuff.
Oh, Film Vault. You missed the Film Vault.
I don't listen.
Great episode this week.
I can't stand the one host. What's his name? Anderson?
Mm-hmm. Great episode this week on the Film Vault.
Yeah.
It is top five. This is really fucking sad. So this is what old age feels like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Did it last night. Researched it for a week. Holy shit. Oh, no. No! It's top five. Oh, kidnapping movies, of course. Kidnapping movies. Okay, there we go. Yeah, my thought was kidnapping movies.
Give me back my son!
That was in there. Not on my list, but that was in there.
Was
solid list, though.
Liam Neeson, does he make an appearance?
Liam Neeson does make an appearance, as the listeners bring him up. But
Escape to Witch Mountain?
No.
That's
Sally
probably
Field.
Number one.
Sally Field makes an appearance on my
Smoking
on
the
my
Bandit
list.
When he kidnaps her from her wedding?
Raising Arizona?
Okay, it's a good episode.
Munich?
However, it turns out that my brain cancer-stricken co-host thought that we were doing top five kidnapping scenes. So there's a discrepancy there. We did talk about some really good movies, though.
I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's the first time we've ever done that.
I like that idea, though, where you do the movie and he just does a scene.
And then a few weeks from now, we're going to flip it, and I'm going to do scenes. He'll do the movies. That's what we're going to have to do. I saw some good ones this week, though. I saw Contiki, finally. Very excited.
It's actually called Swastiki.
Hey, so I know it's that vacuum, but... Mm-hmm. Of course, I immediately jumped to "It's Me." Like when we were walking the hall, didn't it smell like pee?
Didn't smell that.
I was thinking earlier, you kind of smell like pee.
Really? Because now I do think it's me.
What would you do if someone was just like, "Hey, you kind of smell like pee"?
Okay, it's better than.
There's a urine flavor in this room, and I thought that it was somebody else, but they're all gone now. It's just you and I in here. So,
Contiki, what's that?
It's a good movie. I talk about it.
You mean you smell like pee?
It's not what I mean. Not what I mean.
Okay, valedictorian, easy.
All right.
I thought it was that too.
I think I have some good stuff in the show notes. Oh yes. Oh no. Ah, oh, Christ.
What is happening?
Good. Those are good.
One is a great a random fact that I heard, but I did not have time to research it. Don't worry, it has nothing to do with any kind of people from different races or religions, like I got myself in trouble for last time. It's about cats. It's fucking amazing though. And Tyler, maybe you could do a little fact checking. All right. I want to talk about a stupid cop. And
we have time to cover them all.
Oh, you know what, Tyler, we need to do is Mike Carano's School of Vine.
Kidding cops.
What's the Mike Carano School of Vine?
Let's talk about Vine for a second. If Mike Carano had a school that you could attend where he teaches you how to vine like him.
He'd be too distracted vining in the class.
I've been backing off hugely.
I've noticed. I don't have anything on my Vine feed. You got to amp that shit up because I got nothing to look at.
Have you been to a hotel? Have you been to a hotel in Hollywood called
Le Petit
Hermitage?
No,
have you been there?
Very affected. What is a good place to vine?
It is a very very artsy hotel.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
It's supposed to be like the Chelsea, but high end. But there's art everywhere, up and down the hall. I think it's definitely douchey, pretentious. But I think you,
thanks, buddy.
You would thanks. Love it. No, I mean, it's one of these places you're like, all right, I get it. You know, there's art everywhere. But even in the stairwell, they let people do chalk art.
Oh, I saw your Vine of it.
No, but...
this is about Vine.
The hotel is...
this is the first class. Okay,
no, but there's interesting art everywhere, like in all the rooms, and everything's painted weird. And there's all
on
these,
location
like,
with Vine Master Mike Carano.
I think you would dig it. Like, I think you and Jillian should go there for a night and hang out, because they have a rooftop pool that's 18 and over, so it's topless.
Ooh. Oh! Hey now.
Say what?
But while I was having, I had dinner
there
last
night.
Were
you up there?
Yeah.
See a little.
I had dinner at the by the pool,
any
but nippies? It was
oh really hard to eat with all those nips in your face.
It was hard to eat because it was freezing, and I didn't want to tell the guy that was paying for dinner that.
Do they keep it cold up there to keep the nips?
No, it's like weather was cold. Keep the nips hard. They got fucking coolers at chest level.
They have a bunch of big blocks of ice with fans behind them, industrial fans. All right, we're not that show. I'm sorry. Were they really nip top?
Hey, How uncomfortable were you at home like 3 days ago when it was 104?
Oh, my God.
Because, oh, my God, for me, too.
Yeah.
Because I had the AC on full blast. I had
fan. Why was the segue like cold nipples?
I just thought about it. The last 2 days have been chilly and comfortable, but 3 days ago, it was it was very, very warm.
Does that mean you were like, oh, man, Anderson's nipples are probably really sweaty in Tarzana right now?
Oh, Tyler.
My place was so hot that I was very uncomfortable, and I thought, your place, because I have a giant air conditioning unit blowing full blast to my. Oh, you do? I didn't know you did.
Of course I do.
Mine's in my living room, though, and I have to put a giant. I went to Home Depot and bought a giant fan to blow the air from the living room into my bedroom, since I chose not to live in the big bedroom, which has air conditioning, too, because I wanted to be as far away from every human being as possible.
All right, those of you on the chat in real time right now, you're making me feel uncomfortable by talking about things other than the show, so please just talk about the show.
Yeah.
All right, now I got to close that out.
Tyler is the person that needs to come up with this idea, but I printed a very large picture of fart barf.
Okay.
I was testing out some papers and stuff, and it's the same paper I used on yours, but it's very large, and I...
You don't know what to do with it?
We would give it to... you can have it if you want it.
No, I don't. What am I going to do?
Or you can have it.
What am I going
to do? I thought we would just give it away to a listener who did something, but Tyler's got to come up with something creative.
We'll give it away to the listener who gives us the most money.
That's a good contest.
Whoever buys the most expensive thing on Amazon, we will give it to them.
Mike School of Vine, what do you think some of the class? First of all, I liked the first class because it was kind of a red herring class. It was like, we're going to talk to you today about a hotel. And then after we have you process this hotel and the images that I have you conjure in your mind, what do you think? That's right. It'd be a good place to Vine, which I've already done.
Mr. Carano.
And you can see an example of it on Professor Carano.
Mr. Carano, Vine. How many Vines a day should I do?
Yeah, and the answer would be?
Keep it near 100.
Never under,
uh-huh.
But at least, or over.
I had some good notes, too, at the time that I came up with the school of Mike Carano's Vine, but I've lost most of them.
How to make vines where nothing happens?
Never, ever erase a single vine.
You know what?
Do not title them. Do not use the keyboard that's in the app.
I'm not into Vine, and I don't think
Vine
I Vine. I don't think I Vine that much, which is this. So this is surprising to me. The other thing is, I erase, honest to God, 2 out of 3, immediately.
Oh my God.
Immediately.
Oh my God.
Mike, sometimes you literally drove down to the store, and there's 14 vines on the way to the store, 3 at the store.
I erase a lot.
And one after the store.
Yes.
Really? So you're just, you constantly have your phone on and in front of you?
No.
Well, then how are you erasing them and posting them?
I miss so much shit because I see something on the freeway and I'm grabbing my phone in that 7 seconds between opening the home screen, punching in the access code, opening Vine, and getting to the fucking camera. That pisses. I wish they could make it faster.
Do you know what's going to happen if Mike ever gets Google Glass?
And I was about to bring up Google Glass right now.
Mike Google will just Glass put his life out. On 24/7
Google Ustream. Glass comes out and we lose Mike.
Google Glass is technically out. The first batch is shipped.
Well, there's 2,000 of them that are out and circulating, right?
Yeah.
Listen.
We can get it on the second order right now. We'll probably get it in a month.
I'm sure there's a few. Good.
All right, whoever gets us Google Glass, we'll send them the fart bar.
$1,500.
How are we all going to use Google Glass? We need three Google Glasses.
We share it.
Listen.
Do they have Google Monocle? Just like.
Oh, I want Google Monocle. I want Google Glass on a stick where I can just hold it up.
I want Google Glass on like a rectangle item that I can hold in my hand.
One of you guys explain Google.
That was a very esoteric joke.
Google Glass to those who are listening who may not know.
Everybody knows what it is.
No, there's a few people. I just found out about it recently when I found out about the Valley of Victorian.
Here's the thing I don't like about it. First of all,
Valley of the Victorians?
It's not going to take off till it's completely subtle. It's a large prism that's attached, large, I mean like by a quarter inch by half an inch over your right eye on glasses frames. They come without glass though, by the way, but they come with, you can snap in clear glass or you can snap in a dark glass. You don't have to. And it's basically a little monitor that looks like a 60 inch monitor in your right eye. It's got a microphone, it's got audio, and it's got access to Google. So you can say, Google, where am I? It'll use a GPS. It'll show you a map. You can say Google.
How did I get here?
Google take video, and it'll take a video of basically your
perspective. This is not my beautiful wife.
Yes, but the monitor that shows up in your eye is pretty spectacular. Apparently, I haven't looked at it yet. But the way you see, it's like a 60-inch monitor, so you can basically Google stuff and have it with you all the time, right in your eye.
Because that's what you need.
Now the thing is, places are already banning it, even though very few people have it, because of the fact that it's a camera. Like you can't wear them in Las Vegas.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. is we're getting to the point where we're not going to be able to have a place like Vegas where, you know, people need to gamble.
Yeah.
They're going to just be able to strip you down and get to walk through metal detectors and stuff. But movies are going to be unprotectable.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking that like big giant budget of movies, I think maybe 10 years from now, 5 years, they don't exist.
Well, because you say they're unprotectable. Just stolen. I know, but you're missing out on a big factor, which is a good picture. You know,
but you just said I have a 60-inch screen in my eye.
Yeah. No, I'm saying
you're
if I'm
saying
sitting
that your hair is good, and
if I'm sitting in the movie theater watching a movie and I'm videotaping it from my right eye, that video is going to suck. It's like those
I'm not
videos
even talking about
on the
that.
Streets of New York.
I'm saying that people are going to be able to steal it through walls and stuff with devices because everything just floats through the air now with the cloud and the digital and the.
Well,
Lauren came home the other night and she was like, "What the fuck is the cloud? Where is it? Why does it have all my shit?"
Yeah, the cloud does.
And I was like, at first I'm like, oh, "Silly woman." Well, the cloud. Well, okay, it's. There's like these servers somewhere. Yeah. I don't know.
It's I don't like the idea of the cloud. Everybody is going to it because they want to eliminate memory and
take
you keeping your stuff
cloud.
With you. But I'm kind of old school, or maybe
well,
my
you're the one who's
is...
explaining to me that if you want to, God damn, this is digital tech boring talk. I know we'll get off in a second. I'll talk about a dumb cop. I promise. But you're the one who's explaining to me how to keep things backed up. What you have to do. Wrap your shit in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
You have to wrap your hard drive in bubble wrap. Keep it like in an airtight closet.
Yeah.
And then take it out every 12 months and turn it on. Put it in the cloud. Fuck it. Right?
Put it in the cloud.
There's no
but
fucking
you're,
in the cloud, sir.
The cloud is very safe, but you're running the risk of of somebody having access to your photos or your or whatever. You know, is that my phone going off or
who,
is that something else?
That's Tyler. Oh. Who's going to access your shit and who cares, right?
Okay.
Unless they turn it on and sell it. But I just thought of a great game plan, guys.
Yeah.
And I'm serious. Like, somebody can take this idea and make money with it. We come up with a Christian cloud or some kind of afterlife cloud where we promise that all of your memories, all of your
guarded
videos
by
and
angels.
Pictures, they're all there waiting for you when you die. They're all going to be there.
They're Christine. Above. It's above the cloud service.
But you're going to have to do something different than traditional Christians. They don't believe that your worldly possessions go with you anywhere.
Well, that's a problem.
See, yeah,
they're going to now.
You need to get Egyptians that are still practicing.
Ollie, Colin.
Here's the thing about the internet, real quick, and I know this isn't funny. It's not. It's just the most important thing people need to keep in mind. The most important thing by far. Do not post anything or keep any information on a cloud or something that you would be embarrassed by. Because everything is recoverable, including Snapchat now, they found out.
Well, of course, we talked about that at length on the show.
We did.
I talked about I listened to it not too long ago, and the levels were kind of questionable.
We talked about Snapchat. We didn't talk about
that.
It's breakable.
I said, I bet the guy that...
you can screenshot Snapchat right now.
No, but they're all kept somewhere, the pictures. I said the guy that created the Snapshot is probably some huge, overweight, disgusting pedophile, sick pig.
He's
watching all of them.
Yeah
just
like right now he's cackling because he's
like,
a super
like
skinny, emaciated
he's just
pedophile.
Surrounded by all the little dicks and all the little... Yep.
And ironically, he's very old school, and he actually prints them all out on Polaroid-like pictures, and he's just leafs through
and
them.
He hangs them up on his wall.
He
hangs them up on clothespins on strings in his
He's also so
apartment.
Dumb, he sends them out to be printed. That's
no, he does it in his bathtub. He does it in his bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
So you walk into his house, and it's like all red light.
Red.
Back in the day, if you were like a pervert, you had to like learn how to do your own film, right?
Or you're just dumb like me. I mean, dumb like some people, and just take him into a Photoshop.
Yeah.
It's art project, I promise.
In the day, if you're a pervert, you also had to shoot your own film on film.
Why?
Like, it's hard for the person not to know you're shooting an upskirt when you hear that fucking the camera rolling.
I'm sorry, wait, what is that?
Mike has a giant blimp. That's one of those soundproof things that goes over the camera. He's walking around like Walmart. Excuse me, miss. I just got to roll this underneath you real quick. I'm just trying to get by.
Got a couple of grips.
I told you. I think I said I told you a while ago that I got a Jesus Christ. It's Mike. I had a friend who worked at the Photoshop, and one of the first things that they taught her when like on her first day was, okay, now if you get any good pictures, and when we say good, we mean pink parts. You immediately make dupes, and you come with us. Come here. Look, you put it in one of these books, and they had giant photo albums with just years worth
of
fucking
course they
nipple
did.
Shots
of
and
course
naked
they did.
Pink part shots.
Oh, if only you had a time machine, Mike. All the photo places.
Or an internet connection, because it's all on there.
You know what? I'm glad. How old are you, Tyler? 25?
27.
Jesus Christ, we've been on the show a long time.
I know.
Tyler couldn't drink when we started.
I was 16 when we started the show.
No, not really.
I'm really glad. I'm glad that I didn't grow up in a time of the internet.
Because
of
the fact this, yes.
that right now there's already enough stuff that makes me look horrible on the internet.
On the show.
Yeah. No, but I mean, if I were a kid.
We haven't even hit 200 yet.
If I were a kid and we had Facebook and Twitter and everybody had a video camera, my life would be over.
Ep 200 coming up. Can we ignore that, please, and just do it? Mike and I won't know. Will you let us know that it's like, oh yeah, 200 was a couple weeks ago.
you don't want to do a thing? I thought we were doing a live show.
We shouldn't do a thing.
We were doing a live show, remember?
We're doing it right now. We're doing a live show.
No.
Hey, you're on the After Disaster. Can you hear us?
At the House of Blues. The House of Blues invited us.
Hello?
We're going to do it in the parking lot?
The House of Blues in Hawaii?
Without their permission?
Hello?
Hi there. How are you?
And answer.
You guys both watched me flip it in there.
Yeah.
You know, I can only do so much. I'm
only
one man.
Don't worry about it.
I'm only one man.
The callers will pay.
All right. Can we talk about something a little more asinine?
Cop.
Yeah, cop.
Let's go to cop talk.
I hesitate to tell the story because it is cop related, and I don't want to be the guy that's like talking badly about cops.
Cop related.
It's not smart. And I've had some very good friends that are cops. Had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
I'm smart enough.
Because they're cops.
Okay. No, I mean, there's been some really good cops. It's like the same old story. I don't want to go down the fucking road, but I had a cop actually pull me over when there was a warrant out for my arrest, and he found weed in my car, of all things, and that guy was so goddamn cool. He's like, listen, man, I'm going to, you know, turn the other cheek, go home, call your lawyer, figure out this, what's going on. I don't want to impound your car or take you to jail. I'm going to give you a, and that guy's a cool cop. The night I broke my back, there was a cop in the emergency room with me, and he was talking me down from all the pain and everything, and he was the one calming effect that I had. There are some good cops out there.
Of course.
This story has nothing to do with even cops, as much as it has to do, wow, that
glad you set it up then.
As much as it has to do with people doing their job poorly. Now, it could have easily been a guy at Jack in the Box or somebody...
with a badge and a gun.
Or like a bagger at Ralph's or a supermarket, you know, but it happened to be a cop.
With a mustache.
And I got to set it up, and you guys will appreciate it because you know the roads out here much better than some people who are listening from far away. But here's the deal. We live...
It's going to sound like an episode of The Californians.
California. Yeah, totally.
The Californians.
So I was driving up the 101... And I was going southbound on the 101. And I was gonna take 405 south.
I don't think that sketch is funny at all.
I like it. And I can't stop laughing.
Yeah, so do other people I know.
We're talking about SNL now.
I don't get it.
Talking about SNL now. Talking about something happened on SNL last
week.
I swear to God, I laughed harder than I've laughed in 5 or 6 years. And Jillian kept rewinding it.
Which part?
It was the guy that gets all the information wrong. Tommy Monahan, is that his name?
Yeah.
And he kept going Bobby Hunt, and he kept going higher and higher.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude!
And then they like started playing sound effects, so it was too ridiculously high.
I was crying, and I could not stop.
I don't know
laughing.
What it is. I got to see it now.
I'm sorry.
Shoot.
God, I like the way he leans back and looks around.
But when he was going higher and higher, and it was like a sound effect bit, and his reaction and how he missed the one, and she kept it was so goddamn funny. Anyways, I'm sorry. Okay, so we live like literally right down the street from. We're doing the show here right down the street from Carmageddon, which is like world renowned news. I mean, people hear about Carmageddon all the time.
Carmageddon.
Still?
Yeah. Well, when it happens, and it's happened twice now, and I'm sure it's going to happen again. In fact, they're closing the 405 tonight.
They're like redoing a bunch of their construction they did too.
Not
you hear about
11.
That?
They're what?
They have to redo like 2 years of work on the 405 because some lady was sitting in traffic and she noticed there was like a crack in one of the retaining walls. Like guys were like. Whoops, and they're undoing that wall, and then like all the other walls that they built that use the same materials.
Hopefully with a new company, because that company that did it sucks, apparently. Jesus. Yeah. Anyways, this 405, they're shutting it down. 405 North is getting shut down, so what you want to do
up
is go up Santa Monica? Can't get through Skirball? All right, I'm sorry.
What time is it closing tonight?
11 o'clock, you're fine. So... I'm getting, this is going to sound like California, I'm getting from the 101 to the 405, which is the busiest intersection in the world.
Yeah.
All right. Plus, there's-
I can vouch for that.
Massive, it's proven, it's the busiest intersection in the entire world, and there's massive construction going on, okay? And I get on the 405, and I'm going up up the grade, which is a pretty steep grade, and it goes for a number of miles, and there's cones everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's no getting off the off-ramps.
And
all the
off-ramps
lanes,
too. You're not supposed to change lanes. They're just single
white.
Not
supposed
white,
to change lanes. Yeah.
Tipping at the border.
Who pays attention to that? Because I go over those white lines like
I don't,
it's no one's
very often.
Business.
You have to, or else you get a crash.
It's horrifyingly unsafe if you don't stay in those.
That entire stretch of road is horrifyingly unsafe.
I take it every Thursday, and I make diamonds with
that road
bubble.
Is unsafe even when everything's open because people go too fast when you come over that hill.
I've seen so many goddamn accidents, fatalities
in
the last year and a half.
It's the most unsafe freeway I may have ever been on.
Because of the construction makes it, and they have fucking giant lights, like work lights in your eyes, so that's what's causing a lot of the accidents.
And it says construction, so only 55 miles an hour. So like half the people are actually doing that, and then half the people are driving at 75, yeah. 85.
And lanes just disappear out of nowhere.
But even when it's wide open, that freeway was the scariest because you come over that hill and then you start going down and everybody kicks it up to 85. And
it's
then
sketchy.
All of a sudden, it's traffic has stopped or
and it makes
slowed.
An L. It's just like yes. dog legs left all of a sudden.
So.
No, that's the worst freeway. I hate that.
I'm hot. Stanley and I brave it
Thank
five
God we
nights
both
a week.
Live. That's the closest place we both live to.
Five nights here. A week, 10 times a week, if you want to look at both ways. Stanley and I braved that shit, and it's awful. And tonight, we're actually going to go 30 miles out of our way to avoid the closure. It's
going
to take me almost 2 hours. We'll talk about that off air. But here's my point. So I merge on that we lost a call. Now I'm losing steam. God damn it. I merge on to the 405 southbound from 101 north, and as I'm getting on, that's right where the construction starts, too. Before that, no construction, everything is wide open. You can get on and off the freeway, everything's fine. I'm getting onto it, and I see a black truck coming by me, and then I see a cop roll up behind this guy and flip on his fucking lights right there, right at the beginning of the construction. Now you got about five, this is just tonight, I'm on my way here tonight, now you have like 5 maybe 6 miles, I'm not kidding, where there's like no lanes, no fucking shoulder, nowhere to pull off, and no, all the exits are closed. And the cop decided, hey, instead of follow this guy for the next 5 or 6 miles, you know, just kind of cruise with the rest of traffic, I'm going to flip on my lights. So everyone's panicking. No one wants to pass me. This guy doesn't know what to do. He's yep. like going off yep. to the side. And all traffic just stopped. Cars were almost crashing. What kind of... And I just passed it. I fucking gunned it and I just went around them. And I was watching my rearview mirror and they're all just driving slowly in this ball for probably... I don't know. They might still be going. I don't know. That cop is so fucking stupid. That is a fucking stupid person who shouldn't... not be a cop, nor should they have a driver's license.
I see it. I see the. I see cops pull people over on busy streets. I see it on Harbor Boulevard a lot. I saw it on Melrose during rush hour where the cop stays in the lane and gets out and starts writing the guy a ticket when there's plenty of places the cop could have double parked and stuff, but he stays in the lane, gets out, and he's talking to the guy who's pulled over.
And cars are swerving.
Yeah,
and,
no, he's taking up a lane
why?
On a busy street in rush hour.
And I know there's probably some cops listening that are furious going, there's a reason they're like screaming. But you know what? There are stupid people in every profession. All right?
You are found guilty as charged.
My God. And I get it. It's a stressful job. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want to like pull over some Cadillac and get out and have to, you know, in the middle of the night. Bad neighborhood.
Nope. I don't know why you had to make it a black thing.
I didn't. It's a Cadillac.
Bad neighborhood Cadillac. You ever seen a white guy driving a Cadillac in a bad neighborhood?
Oh, yeah.
Goodfellas.
Those like 80s Cadillacs.
I just watched the movie.
I love the 80s Cadillacs.
The movie The Iceman.
There were pieces of garbage and I love them.
He was Pollock. He was Polish and he had a Cadillac Iceman. Mm-hmm. Kuklinski, played by Michael Shannon. Good movie, check it out. Actually, good performance, bad movie.
Oh, really?
It's okay. It's just kind of paint by
numbers. Was it an HBO special or was it an actual movie?
It's an actual movie. It's in theaters now. Michael Shannon.
Should have been an HBO
Michael
special.
Shannon.
Even
Michael Shannon
already.
And someone else, right? Who else is in it?
Ray Liotta. Shannon's probably going to be up for best actor for that.
I really?
That. Did you see?
He's so good.
Did you see him in Premium Rush?
No.
He was great in
Michael
it.
Shannon? I didn't see
yes.
Premium Rush. Why would you
I
watch
know,
Premium Rush?
Because it was great.
Why would that cop flip on his light right there? Why wouldn't he
and
just
when
wait?
I say great, I don't mean like Schindler's List great. People,
do you think he's like
down.
A new cop? Does he want people to like stare at him? Like he's excited to be like the guy driving? He wants to make sure everyone sees him with the lights on top of his car. Why? Would he do that?
Why?
Why not do it a little bit before or wait like 4 or 5 miles?
Why?
The guy had nowhere to go.
You know what? The only reason I can see him doing that is if the guy could have been a serious threat and he may have lost him. Like if it was somebody they were looking for and his license came up.
Then the guy would have just gunned it and like taken off.
And you do see cars break down on this freeway and there's no shoulder. And
oh,
I saw this poor bastard. He was broken out this motorcycle and he was on a really dark spot of the freeway on a curve a little bit. And he just had his phone out and he was just waving his phone in front of him, hoping that people would see him last
minute. That
kind of
makes me sad.
And
he's
that guy might have gotten killed. I don't know. I just kept going.
When you say there's no shoulder... That's an understatement.
There's like not negative enough shoulder.
Yeah, if there's a chance, and I'm not even exaggerating, that if you were to swerve a bit, your mirror would hit that cement wall. It's feet. It's 2 feet max.
We've talked about this at length.
I try to make all my vines on the 405 South.
I tried that. I tried that wall. I took a vine of the sign that says no shoulder head.
No, you didn't, because we didn't see it.
I swear to God, I did, and I didn't post it.
Well,
that
wasn't possible with you.
I tried to do it because I couldn't find another no shoulder sign for
it
the next like 2 miles.
It must have failed on upload. It must have failed on the upload.
I missed the no shoulder. I was waiting for that to come up again, and then it opened up down by the 405, down by the 101. So it wouldn't have worked anyway. Forget it.
Ready for the random fact that may or may not be true?
You don't want to talk about roads anymore?
Well, I'm good with it. Rocky, I feel like that's all been wrapped up. I feel pretty good about it.
Put a bow on that one.
Hey, I just learned that my little sister, the littlest one, who's married in Arizona. Hey, it's okay if she is married in Arizona. She lives there. She's been listening to the show feverishly, like people do, because the show's fucking weird, and they just start listening and they can't stop. And she's been texting me throughout the show, and I am horrified. Petrified.
Tonight?
She'll listen to this eventually, because she's listened to all of them.
Oh, she's like live tweeting episodes, but just texting them to you.
Yeah, like at 4 a.m. when she's listening to them, you know, old shows. But she's like pissed because I don't talk about her. And it's like, honestly, I'm afraid to say anything because I don't want to get in trouble. Because, you know, I can...
Has she gotten to the episode about the wedding yet?
I hope not. I am kind of horrified.
Well, the old ones are hard to find, so I think that was probably an old show.
And it wasn't that bad. I didn't say anything bad about her. Said a few things about my new family.
They know about swastikas.
Wow, Tyler, you're not helping me. Huge shout out to Alicia. Love you.
If I find out that my family is listening to the show, I'm gonna be horrified too.
The one sister who lives with me, I don't care. You know, I fuck with her all the time. But the littlest one, Alicia, I fuck with her, and she kind of takes it the wrong way. You know, you should see it, hear the way that I talk to the sister who lives with me. Terrible.
What does Brett think about the show?
He would never listen.
Who's Brett?
My brother.
He's me at the wedding.
Yeah. Tyler stood in for him. Okay, random fact. Heard this on a very smart podcast. Not this one. But I will be. A few months from now, I'll be hearing this on this podcast.
Let's change our name to the Valvictorians.
There's all sorts of crazy shit that goes on in nature, right? With evolution, which I've talked about a little bit here on the show, and it fascinates me. And with things,
nope, it all makes sense.
A lot of it's just trial and error. And there's so much random chaos out there, with the chaos theory and whatnot, and random things end up working. And one that
by
works,
trial and error, you mean evolution, right?
But well, that's it. Ends up being evolution, yes. But trial and error, you know, you just keep trying.
Because the trial and error doesn't happen so much now as it probably did, because you don't see monkeys.
It does.
Yeah, you don't see a monkey walk over and try to eat something that a monkey would never eat and spit it out.
I heard this in relation to a podcast I was listening to about a movie that I did not like at all called Upstream Color by Shane Carruth, who also did Primer, which I absolutely love. You should watch Primer. But he made another movie here nine years later.
I watched that and my mind broke.
You watch Primer? Don't watch Upstream Color. But I shouldn't say that. Check out Upstream Color, but don't expect it to be Primer. But Shane Carruth, the guy that made it, will tell you that it's 100 times better. But that's what's wrong with Shane Carruth. Love you, buddy. Okay. There's apparently a fungus, and I might be getting some of this wrong, and it might be all bullshit, but I don't think so. Apparently there's a fungus.
There's a fungus among us?
That can be found in cat feces that mice eat.
Oh, I don't know where this is going.
Mice eat or mice are exposed to, and it makes the mice not have fear. They lose their fear, and they especially, in particular, they lose their fear of cats. And in doing so, the cats eat more mice. And the fungus that live in the gut tract and the gastrointestinal tract of the cat are fed more as a result. And it was done on purpose. And when I say on purpose, I mean trial and error, where it occurred and now it works. And now it's happening. And as a result, that fungus is getting fed more and the cats are getting fed more. And that's crazy.
That is crazy, but that's not as surprising. That's not surprising to me, because when you hear about how, you know, like, who was the first fucking guy that ate a pineapple? Because that wouldn't occur to me. I'm going to eat that gross thing. I'm going to cut it open and eat what's inside. I would never have taken the time to crack a coconut open and see if there's anything inside of it.
I don't understand the connection.
Yeah. I'm saying all this stuff, like, you accidentally do something. You know, the guy that dropped his fucking chocolate into the peanut butter.
But, I mean, it'd be easy to look.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah. It's exactly the same thing. But, you know, it'd be easy to, like, you know, make a sci-fi thriller out of that and think, oh yeah, the fungus is smart and it's like it's brain manipulating the mice.
Are you talking about toxoplasmosis?
It could be. I don't know.
A good idea.
But it's just one of those trial and error things that happens in nature, but it benefits. It's symbiotic to the cat and the fungus, and it's fascinating. No, the poor little mice don't like it too much.
Yeah, that is not...
But at least they go down with their head held high.
And then me being partial addict.
Not afraid.
The toxoplasmosa has interesting effects on mice. For instance, makes them attracted to the smell of cat urine.
Ooh, that's a problem.
Essentially making them zombies that seek out their own destruction.
Yeah, see? And then it provides more food for the kitty and for the fungus in the tract. That is fascinating. Where is it going?
It's pretty interesting, but it's gross, because I don't like to think of a cat eating a mouse.
It's supposed to have effect on the human brain as well.
So let's get some. Let's get some.
That's where I was going. My partial addiction self was thinking, I don't like fear.
I like catch.
I wonder if you get up some of this kitty poo and
next time dry it out.
Toxoplasmosis is correlated to an increased risk of car accidents. So do not own a cat and drive on the 405.
Really?
Really? Wait, can that be like an actual defense in court? It's like, well, I got my cat with me. He pissed all over the place. I inhaled it.
Yeah, I was eating some cat shit.
Got no fear.
Got on the freeway.
That's interesting. It's good shit.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
That is pretty good. I like it.
I liked it too. Random fact. That's my random fact.
You know, because I'm attracted, like vagina juice makes me more attracted to women.
Oh my God.
It's true.
Is that even a word, vagina juice?
Well, it's two words. Putting them next to each other.
Valedictorian.
So I had a few people over at my place. You missed it, Mikey.
I know, I'm sorry.
It was a small little intimate party. It was fine.
I regretted it.
I turned a monumental age, and I had a few family members and close friends over. Small, wasn't like one of our bigger ones. But one of my good friends was there, Alex, from high school. And his wife, who I don't know that well, she didn't show up at the wedding. In fact, she's asked him to write me off a few times.
Oh, how come?
Yeah, because I didn't show up at their wedding or let them know if I was going or not. And I just kind of dropped the ball a few times with him. Anyways, I had good reason, though. But Alex, you know Alex. He's the one he called in the show. He's the one
that
was
shit in the fish tank.
Pooping in the fish tank, yes. So I'm in my own backyard enjoying an adult beverage, absinthe.
I didn't know that guy was married.
And drinking a beer. It's hard to tell when it's on top of a chick grinding, huh? At my wedding?
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't talk about that.
Joking. Totally kidding. No, Alex is a great guy, and we've been through a lot, but Alex is really... He's turned into quite a quality individual. I like that man a lot, and I miss him every time I see him. And I would
real
like
quick,
to him
you got to seriously clarify that he wasn't.
He was not doing
grinding,
that, of course.
Because what if someone hears it?
I was totally joking.
Because he really wasn't.
He wasn't. He was class act. He was class act at my bachelor party, and he was class act at my wedding. He's the one that was in his room with. I don't want to tell that story. There was somebody in his room who wanted to suck his dick, but it wasn't a girl. It was a guy, and what? I shouldn't have told that.
You knew
either.
That.
I don't know this part.
The drunkest gay guy in
all
the
right,
wedding.
Okay. We shouldn't be saying any of this. God damn it.
Maybe a tear was shed.
Oh, the wedding.
Yeah.
Not the bachelor party.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So.
Where's my bourbon?
I'm there with my buddy, and I'm in the backyard drinking my absinthe like an adult and having a cigarette. One of my last cigarettes.
The backyard looked delightful.
That's how it looks all the time now.
It's
amazing. I spent way too much time.
Tiki restaurant?
There could have been some luau music, and it would have been at home.
A little con tiki?
Little swastiki.
Swastiki contiki.
50 top swastiki hits.
So I almost said something so awful right now, I would have actually made you cut it. I'm glad I didn't say that. So anyways, I hear my name being yelled in a teacher-like manner. Like, get over here now. But it was more like, Andy, get what? Come here. And it was his wife, Jo, who I don't know that well, but we've hung out a few times. And she's a teacher. Well, she was a teacher before she became a stay-at-home mom, as far as I know. And she goes, what is Alex telling me right now? And she said, and then they tell me the story. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot all about that. Yes, that's absolutely true. And she was disgusted with both of us. Here's what it was. There was an entry level exam, test, a math test that we had to take in high school so they could figure out what class to place. It was a placement test.
Yeah.
Very, very official and set up through the state. You know the test I'm talking about, Ty?
Yeah, I just bought my way into school. I don't know what you're talking about.
You have to take a test. You have to go there on the weekend so you can get placed in it.
I've heard about it.
Yes.
I don't know
SAT?
What you're talking about.
Not an SAT, but it's very similar. But it's like earlier than that. It's for high school, and it's all very legit. And I did not like the class. I did not like the subject matter, and I wasn't going to do very well on it. And I would have had to take probably 3 extra years of math. My buddy Alex, who didn't go to that school, really good at math. So we devised a plan while drunk one night. I was like 16 or 17. I'm like, hey, Big Al. How about you go down there Saturday? I'll give you like a few bucks. You take the test. And you can say you're me. And it was that long ago that he just waltzed in there. He's like, I'm Anderson Cowan. They're like, yeah, take a seat over there. Aced the fucking test. So I didn't have to take math through high school. I had to take like two
classes.
That
is fucking awesome.
Two classes.
That is aced awesome.
It. I forgot all about that.
I see nothing.
Disgusting.
I see nothing wrong with that. Swear to God, I see nothing wrong with
nothing
that.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
I see nothing wrong with that.
And one of the other math classes that I took, actually, we just bought the teacher's book, Geometry, and we had Advanced Geometry or Trigonometry or whatever it was. And he was dumb, so we used all of the tests that were in the book, in the back of the book. So we just would actually do the tests, walk in with the tests in our backpack. He'd hand out the tests, and then we would just sit there and doodle and then hand in our finished tests that we copied from the book. After. It was great. Oh, fuck math.
Good times. Good times.
I did a fair amount of cheating in high school.
Ironically, I love math. It's actually a good
Really on Lauren?
It, especially when I'm on coke. Do math problems all day.
And invent languages.
Oh, but that's math. You're probably wrong, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I love math.
Talks about
this, doing it, though. This is gibberish.
We hate math and didn't look at math.
She was really pissed, though. And like they left shortly thereafter. I think that she was so offended that we had duped.
That's why they left?
Duped. I don't know if that's why, but they also had a small child.
Yeah, that was
home.
Like 20 years ago. You know, I mean,
it's a character thing. It's character stress.
Let me get a hit of that, bro.
Yes. Is that your space pen that you can write upside down and underwater with?
That's a terrible gift that I got from my brother a while ago.
You got from him?
No, I gave it to him.
The space pen?
The space pen. They sell them at AAA. Remember
that's
the one
where all the astronauts get their stuff.
On Seinfeld. Yes. All right. So there's that.
I was listening to Radiolab, the podcast.
I've never heard of it. Stop plugging other shows.
And they were doing a little thing about cicadas, you know, how they're like going crazy right now.
I was really hoping we could get through an entire episode without talking about that because that's all anyone's talking about. But go ahead.
And this one guy that like studies them was talking about how they are in his area and sometimes they come out, they get the year wrong and they'll just be like one cicada.
That's funny. And all the news groups are there.
I was like, that's really funny. And then he was like, yeah, and it just was there for like 4 days just playing its little song by itself. And then there was no one to bang and it just
really
died.
Sad.
I know. It was funny. And then I got really like depressed for this.
That is so goddamn sad.
17 years in the ground, except you came out after 16 and there's nobody there. And you're just like, I'm playing my song. Where the hell's my.
Oh, so he was the only one. I thought like everyone else got it wrong and they all stayed in for an extra year. So he was the first one to come out. I see.
Right.
You're saying.
So he came out 16 years instead of 17.
You thought it seemed more likely that everybody but one guy got it wrong instead of the one dumb guy? Hey, we had him in Tucson and. They would come. They would latch onto the chain link fences and then die. And there would be shells of them, hundreds and hundreds on the chain link fences, like these perfectly formed, like exoskeletons all everywhere. Hundreds, if not thousands.
Was it because they were molting and they like jumped off, or did they just die and like hollow out?
I was a kid and I just remember being totally grossed out by it. And you'd crunch them and they would just disappear.
I was in Park City, Utah, in the summer. My dad was hanging wallpaper in some like homes they were building up there,
telling the people that live there about Jesus.
Yeah, and he would pretend that he was doing work inside, but there's just people in there.
He's putting crosses underneath the wallpaper so that they always have God.
So that's how it works.
He's like, here's how you do it, son. You want to paint a paste in the form of a cross.
No, I was outside rolling, doing rollerblade action in the streets while while he was doing that. Except there was like a locust swarm, and I was just rolling over.
Did you go running home crying? It's
terrifying.
Happening, Daddy!
Are you sure they were locusts?
I don't know. Then it was grasshoppers.
Did you get scared because of the Bible?
Thousands of them.
Because
sometimes
I just thought it was weird.
Sometimes when I'm driving to Tucson,
and it was really hampering my rollerblading time.
Well, I'll see
crunch,
like
crunch,
a cloud
crunch.
Of grasshoppers, and it freaks me out.
And I'm glad that you brought it up, Ty. I feel bad that I made a dick remark about it. Honestly, I was excited to talk about it when I first heard about it the first couple times, and now I've heard about it like everywhere I go. It's all everyone talks about. And I'm like, Jesus. Especially all the bad jokes, like, hey, they're coming. They haven't been. They've been in the ground since midnight. And you're going to come out with baggy jeans. Shut up.
Are they supposed to come now?
They're coming like any day now, yeah.
But I mean, doesn't a new batch come every like
every 17 years? And apparently this year it's going to be way more. I think they're predicting more. What is it, 6,000 per human in that area?
It's something terrible.
Trillions.
I'm going to kill myself.
There's trillions. Trillions.
They ate like tacos this morning on the Today Show with like fried cicadas.
Where'd they get them from?
Like some of the early bloomers or something like that. Really?
Where is it that they happen?
Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah,
somewhere.
New York.
It's far away.
Carolinas.
So I wonder if that's what it was in Tucson that we had, because they were these bugs that would grip on to things and then they would die by the thousands.
I think these are the specific ones that only come out every whatever 17 years, whatever.
I remember the last time. I do.
These made a noise that was fucking unbearable. Like just.
I kind of want to go. I kind of want to be a part of that storm.
Played all. There's like three different songs that there's three different species of cicadas, and they all play their own like different little song. It's really
great. Hey, could you stop plugging the podcast? We need a lot of help we can get. Thanks.
You know, it reminds me of there's
a help us by not talking.
Yeah, it does.
Great article in The Onion that said.
We just lost a caller. They're probably off listening to cicada songs. Thanks, buddy.
I think it said animal fucks its way back from the brink of extinction. There's an article about these frogs that were almost extinct.
That's offensive.
And they fucked their way back. It's just funny. It's not funny what I'm saying. It was funnier when I read it on theonion.com.
Wiser.
Obviously.
Wiser.
Anderson's checking the phones right now. I'm talking as soft as I can. Actually, this is softer.
Even softer. I almost just ran over Stanley in here, trying to play you this.
Oh, poor Stanley. Thank you.
What is that cool sci-fi noise? I like it.
The cicadas.
Oh my god, really? How many is that?
This is the one that screams. It's like...
You know what? It's kind of sexy. Creepy. Gives you a fucking gross feeling.
How many is that, I wonder? Because it'd be that times, what, a trillion? If it was like two.
I don't know. I hate this idea, though. I am repulsed by and terrified by the idea that something is living underneath my feet. Sir, I'm not kidding. It's fucking 50 times worse than knowing there's things in the sky.
I get it. That's not so bad. That just sounds like Pirates of the Caribbean. Right?
Which part?
The blue bayou. The bayou.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Hi, in the after disaster. How are you?
Please be a cicada calling in.
Hi, guys.
He just calls in.
Happy birthday.
Wow. Hi. Thank you for happy late birthday. Who is this?
Marina.
Maria?
Marina.
Marina!
Maria. I'm glad
Hello,
to see
Marina
you.
Del Rey. How are you?
What's up, man?
I'm good. You know, Ustream not working, right?
What's that?
Ustream is not working.
It doesn't really matter. As long as the podcast is working,
we
we're fine.
Know
we're
that.
Good to go.
Now we know it.
Okay. There's only a couple hundred people
that are. I have a random fact for you guys.
You have a song for us? Is it a cicada-like?
No,
that's
no, a random fact.
Oh, there we go. It should be working now.
Did you not push it? Tie.
Hey, oh, everybody.
That's why no one was talking about the show on the message board. Very upsetting. Woo. All right, I'm sorry, Marina. What'd you say that kid?
I have a random fact.
A random fact. Go ahead.
Recently, a 64-year-old man was arrested for having sex with his pet peacock.
That's not hot. Was it a female or a male? Why does that matter?
It doesn't say.
Was there penetration involved?
What?
Was there penetration? I don't want to know.
How do you
That's
even
terrible.
Approach a peacock?
How do you want to...
The worst part is, the reason he sucks to the peacock is that there is no children available.
Did he come on your phone? Because that's what it sounds like. Cannot hear a word you're saying. Sorry I said that. Why did I say that?
That was terrible.
I'm apologizing. Hey, Marina, I can't hear a word you're saying. I hear every second word.
I'm sorry. It's a Google Voice.
Oh, Google Voice. It's a problem.
Maybe the gayest thing I've ever done in my life.
Tell me more.
I was out with a gay friend.
Can I retract that come on the phone thing? I don't know why I said that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was out
Did he finish fucking peacock and then jizz on your phone?
I'm sorry.
Don't it sound so bad?
I was out with a gay friend and we were in West Hollywood and we were going for a walk and we were walking down that center section.
I don't know why the peacock story reminded you of this, but go ahead.
So we're walking. It's kind of like a grassy island in the middle of the street. Santa Monica and Doheny. You know what I'm talking about?
Down Doheny in Santa Monica.
Yeah, and so we're walking in the middle. It's essentially the gayest two blocks in all of Los Angeles. And we're out there walking down the grass talking, and he's talking about how much weight I lost. And I unzipped my belt, opened up my shorts, and he looked in to see how much of a gap there was between my body and the edge of my shorts. I'm like, look at that. And then I just put my belt back on, and we just kept on walking. I was like, that was a weird thing for me to do.
I really hope that somebody who knows you or knows of you or recognizes you was just driving by or stopped in traffic, and they looked over.
I believe so.
You in the gay section of Hollywood opened your pants with another man looking down.
So we stopped
casually.
We stopped into a bar, the bar right next door to the Troubadour, very high-end, like upscale bar, and... I hate what I'm about to do because just tell them. Jack and Coke and regular Coke. Throw me a price.
Jack and Coke and regular Coke?
Yeah.
22.
31.
It's fucking stupid. That's when you walk out.
$31.
That's when you walk out.
And I went, this is ridiculous. And he went, it's not that bad. And I go, it's fucking ridiculous.
Wait, that's not that bad?
That's what he said. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
So like a nice place?
It's kind of nice, but it's not. There's
it
no
must
place.
Have been like $10 for your Coke, maybe 12, yeah, and it had like to 19 be. For it the had Jack and Coke.
Yeah, it had to be.
That's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous. Like, I'll pay $10 for a Jack and Coke or $12, but I'm not paying $31 for a Jack and Coke and a Coke.
No,
which we did. But
little did he.
It's not even about
Jack
the
and Coke.
Not even the money at that point. It's just about
it's the insult.
It's the insult, and it's just it's principle. You got to get the fuck out of there. What the hell?
Why not just charge like $50 at the door and be done with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's like bottle service in Vegas. When you see the prices people pay for a bottle of booze, it's comical. Oh, I want a bottle of Grey Goose, $500.
Well, you get the table that comes with it and all the poo tag.
Four. You really think
Why
there's
Why did I just say that?
You think there's any...
What's wrong with me? Truth I don't know. He turned 40 and became a lecherous creep. Oh,
come on. Come horrible. On the phone and poo tag.
Comes right out of there.
No, but do you think... those tables in Vegas.
Tables? Yeah, because the broads know where the money is.
Oh, they're at the tables.
But they have to be one of the biggest.
What? What just
watching
happened?
Watching a cicada come out of its butt.
All right, dude. I thought something happened to Stanley.
Me too. I thought you were just saying I'm watching a cicada come out of the burrito, and I was like, I'm going to go throw up in the bathroom right now.
Oh, no. We can't eat anything that comes from that part of the country for like 6 months.
Good.
Because you know what I mean? Like food, it's all going to be in there. Why'd I say poo-tang like that?
I don't know, man. We got
I don't
editing.
Know if I can do the show anymore.
We got some editing to do on this show.
Oh, my God.
Creepy Anderson.
All right, let's go to
I've never heard you say something like that, by the way.
Ever.
Does that make you more comfortable?
Is it because I'm 40?
Slick Andy?
I've never heard you say something like see on the phone, either.
And see anyone who's phone? Listening to this right now who hasn't seen the Vine that I made from Anderson's birthday party, you need to see it. It's on theafterdisaster.com. It's on our Facebook. It's on the After Disaster's Vine. You get some full-on beauty.
That guy never said poo-tang like that.
That was awful. Time. That guy would not like hanging out with you at all. And
I wouldn't like hanging out with him.
He wouldn't believe you were friends with me.
That guy was terrible. Yeah, that guy
I gotta
was
say,
awful.
I like Mike, though.
The what? Worst...
if you know what I mean. He might look down his shorts. On
the
Dovini.
Worst thing... All right. The worst thing you said on the show is what you just said, that come on the phone reference.
And followed up by the poo-tang.
Yeah. I mean, not the worst, but that's coming... I've never heard you say something
Because
like
I was
that.
So disturbed by a guy fucking a peacock, yeah. And I had a picture of the guy. He kind of looked like Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force in my head. And then I just pictured like something because to connect it to her phone, and yeah, I wish I didn't go down there.
You know what else? I don't care what animals people fuck anymore because I'm already aware of the fact, courtesy of the internet, that people will fuck anything. Even things without a hole, they will fuck it. There's some dude that'll fuck anything that's on the planet.
Anyone fucked a flea? You think? How do you do that? You put it in the pee hole.
Ah,
is that how you do it?
Does that count as fucking?
I don't think it does. It might. It's the closest thing you could put up your butt.
But you know, there was. Remember that?
We're not that show.
Remember 2 years ago we talked about on the show the people that were falling in love and having sex with cars.
Yeah, and they have a documentary about that.
Yeah, that's why I think it came up.
Chicks like in
Two
love
years
with
ago,
a,
I think that was probably like
three
weeks ago.
No, it was a while ago. And this one chick had like a huge love affair with like a piece of carny equipment. It was like some kind of zipper ride or something. She would just go something. To the lot where it was and she'd just caress it. I think some of that was bullshit.
There's really some hope. Chick that's like in love with the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Funky cold Medina, man.
There's a widow who was in love with Twin Towers. She's still very sad.
You know what I wish? Never mind that her husband kicked.
No, she didn't have a husband. She
You know
the
what
towers,
I
threesomes with the Twin Towers.
Yeah, it's like a,
that's her only thing.
You know what I wish was
threesomes
happening?
With the Twin Towers. Was something that was just said on this show.
I gotta stop
I
doing
want
this show.
To go
I,
back.
I can't be this guy.
The last 10 minutes, you've been in rare been form.
Awful.
And the Ustream just kicked in, so this is like the first thing anyone's heard tonight is you just on fire.
No, because most people listen on the download. I'm sorry.
No,
ahead.
Pretty much everyone listens live.
I got something. One final thing that I want to talk about with you in particular.
Okay,
Mikey. Well, you can chime in too, Tata, I guess. But you were going to say something.
You know what I've been? I have a hankering for. That little shit carnival that you guys talked me
they're
into.
They're everywhere.
To.
If you just drive around,
no,
keep your eyes peeled.
I want to go to the one that has no people.
The best is to just, when you see a street carnival, hopefully you have nothing to do and you're Mike, so you probably won't. You just pull over.
Grab your phone,
out.
Make some vines.
The impromptu carnival experience is the best. Where like you're sitting in traffic 1 minute and within 20 minutes you're on a ride and eating cotton candy.
That's not even what I'm talking
and
about.
Never,
I'm talking about
never
the
expected.
Fact that you guys talked me into going there. I drove there knowing I don't like carnivals and we were... essentially the only people there. And I loved that.
Yeah, it was a good time.
There was nothing. I went back the next night. I went back Saturday and I went back Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Missed my AA meeting to go to that carnival on Sunday morning. It was closed.
Have you...
You thought a carnival was open on Sunday morning?
8 a.m. I was there.
Mike.
Swear to God.
Jesus
Christ. I went to Supercar Sunday at 7 a.m. out in Thousand Oaks, figuring I'm going to fly back, go to my meeting at 9 a.m. Everything's back on schedule. And instead, I drove by the carnival and I went, fuck it, I'm staying here. And it was totally empty, 100%.
I like that we're going through Mike's weekend from about 4 months ago, step by step.
Did you go to Western Bagel?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did, in fact, go to Western Bagel.
That's great.
I like Western Bagel.
No, you don't.
Okay, Mike.
I don't like the service sometimes, but normally it's
all right.
There's a girl that works there that's so
come
stunning.
On, phone. Poo-tang! Listen, have you heard people who say, and you know what? I found myself thinking about that, and I was wondering why that was bothering me so much, like days later. You know that saying? You know.
That's a long saying that I don't like.
People say that. Like,
what's wrong with your mic?
It's loose.
You never hear when people said things.
You know, I hear people say that all the time. Like, they're trying to work something out, and they're like, you know what? It occurred to me that was still bothering me, and I was trying to figure out why that was bothering me.
I may say that, but it sounds pretentious.
It does sound a little pretentious, but that's not what I'm getting at. I'm jealous of it. I'm jealous of people who think that way, because I never, ever sit around wondering why that was bothering me. Because if I were to do that, and I think you're the same way, I would just wander around in a constant state of wonderment about everything, because I'm bothered by so many things. You know what I mean?
Or you would come to a conclusion as to why something would bother you, then it would be gone, and then you'd have to
go the next thing.
Yeah.
But somebody said that, and it occurred to me that how foreign that sounded to me, and then I was immediately jealous of it, and I'm like, you know what? They have so few things that bother them that there's only a few of them that can
it's
actually
zero in on. It's funny that you just
zero
said the
in
exact
on.
Same thing in reference to somebody saying that.
What do you mean?
You just said the exact same thing.
Huh?
Somebody said that to me, and it occurred to me.
That it never occurs to me that I don't think that
the It's not the occurred part, guys. It's the part that it was bothered, that person was bothered. Like, and I was wondering, why am I still so bothered by that? And I'm so bothered by so many things constantly that I can never just focus on one thing. You know, that whoever says that, yes, pretentious, but they have their shit pretty well good to go. You know what I mean? Tyler probably would say something like that.
I'll tell you what the problem is. You're faced with the fact that you're not the smartest person in the world, and it points out your weaknesses, because somebody told me once that quote that we've talked about, which is Nietzsche, I think it is, and it's, I'm not going to get the quote even in the ball. I'm going to get in the ballpark, but it's not the same thing, but you become what you hate. And I was telling them how much I hate DJs. This story goes nowhere, but the point is, I've hated things because I was jealous and vocally voiced my hatred and my disdain for people and things. And then looking back on it, I'm like, I'm kind of jealous. Like, I hated this one particular guy, and I'm like, you know, I told everyone he was a douche and talentless and this and that, and then I realized, he's got a pretty cool job. Kind of wish I had that job.
Is it Loveline? Is it running the board for Loveline?
Is it running the board for the After Disaster?
I don't want to say.
Is it one of those? It's one of those.
It's not one of those.
You know what I mean? You're forced to realize, like, you're forced to go.
Well, that's a whole separate issue.
Like, why do I hate this guy so much? And then you go, I hate him because he's good looking and he's charming.
Stop!
And he's a
guy.
And he talks like a little girl.
Hey.
Stop! No,
No, that's different, though. I mean, I hate everything. Like, I immediately hate everything, except for, like, attractive girls. And even that, I don't even pay attention to anymore since I've been married.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hate, like, initially, any song just about, any, like, color, any person in front of me, any new car, any new device, everything. I
any colored person in front of you?
I default to hate. Always default to hate. I don't know why.
I think I do too a little bit.
Then a lot of time I'll come around. Totally, and the things that I resist most at first, you're an example. I hated you like 10 years ago when I first met you. The things that I resist the most at first, a lot of time I'll come around and like the most in the long run, and it'll have the most.
I think it comes from being, like, skeptical, but then at some point you just become so ingrained in your skeptical ways where it starts out with, like, I'm going to make the show, like, win me over. Then the show wins you over or whatever. But then it starts to just bleed into everything else in your life. And then you become so jaded. And yeah.
I did it with a podcast just recently. I'm not going to name it because I don't plug other shows. It is hackney. It is bad. They have a live studio audience, which just adds to the horrificness. And things, like, it wouldn't work if there wasn't that live studio audience egging them on.
Are you listening to Future After Disasters?
Oh, my God. That'd be great. But I fucking hated it, and I was about to erase it. And a couple times I reached for my phone. I'm like, I'll just listen to the rest of the episode. By the end, I'm like, you know what? I should listen to this more often. It's informative. It's clever every now and again. I'll tell you guys what it is off air.
You.
But
here's what I think. Here's how what I'm interpreting, and sort of I got off topic a little bit, but I think because I do the same thing. I hate most things, but I think I hate them because in my brain triggers that as an obstacle towards something, or something holding me back, or something cluttering up the universe.
Yes, for sure. It's and a lot of the time it's something being celebrated that should not be celebrated or accepted,
which in turn is holding us,
it's mediocrity,
cluttering our world that we want to create.
I think it goes back to like childhood where I think, and I bet you and I had similar childhoods where we thought that once we got to be older, everything was going to be magically great. And there was all these opportunities and not opportunities, not career opportunities, but just things in the world were going to be great. And like the future was going to have hovercraft and space travel and like the endless possibilities. And you get to be a little older and you realize all that's bullshit and nothing's really great. And the only thing that's like going to happen is you're going to get taxed and have jobs you hate and people above you that are stupid. You know, everything is just a letdown. God, it's sad to talk about. And I feel like such a downer and such an ass, but that's kind of what it is. It's just, you know what I mean? Show
just took Might a as well just go fuck a peacock.
Expectations so for things, and then you get there,
bring a
and
peacock
it's just
there,
everyone's in line waiting for a shitty burrito. I mean, that's what life is.
Multicolored cocksucker who's boss.
So, you hear about that big new movie coming out? The Great Gonzo.
This is it. This is the one. But it's not going to be funny if you can't see his face.
No. Famous director. No, it's The Great Gatsby and it's Baz Luhrmann. Pretty sure it's The Great Gonzo, no set.
I think that might be it. Is that where it stops? Well, if they stopped it there, they're so stupid.
No, it's...
It's just slow.
It's just like reloading video. Really? That's great, guys.
Jillian and I could not. And I don't think I've ever... I know I've never laughed that hard with Jillian, and I don't think I've laughed that hard in like 10 years. This stupid little thing on SNL.
I'm glad they put those episodes online.
Well, Tyler has it right there.
No, but I want to watch the whole show.
I feel like we should put a fork in this. I feel like we should.
We got to go to the calls.
I thought that was it, Tyler. That's pretty good.
Hey.
Should we go to the calls? Uplifting calls?
I'm only going to bring this up because people have asked me. I did get my health insurance paperwork. Haven't filled it out yet, but I will tell you, I am a colossal moron because I'm doing stuff that I would never forgive other people for doing. Mm-hmm. I would never forget that they did it, and I would always that would never leave my brain that they're this stupid. I'm talking to the insurance agent on the phone, and I start telling her some of the problems I'm having. One, you shouldn't fill them in. You have problems.
Of course not.
First of all, she made it crystal clear. I don't know, but you need to talk to your doctor about that. Well, sometimes there's just clicking in my knee like when I'm hiking. It's really loud. Doesn't hurt or anything. I think it's cool.
And she's like assurance. Like she's this like, person on the phone.
I don't have any idea what that is. And I'm like.
She's clerical?
Yeah. No, she's an insurance agent. She's not even in the medical field.
Right. She's clerical.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing?
Like, I'm going to call my dude at Allstate and ask him about, you know, all winter tires versus run flats.
Right. Well, he might know, actually.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's common knowledge.
What is it
like?
What
are you staring at me for?
What is it like? You know, it's like calling the phone company and complaining about something your mom said on the phone.
Yes.
It's like calling Mike and asking how to make vines.
Hey, you know what? No. This is sort of off topic, but this is one of the
third
biggest,
time in a row I think he's opened a statement with that.
One of the biggest letdowns in life for me.
Where is topic? Oh, we're back on topic now. Ironically.
No, but it's you know, with the exception of the iPhone, pretty much everything.
Yeah, the iPhone actually. You know what?
No, but
yeah.
Pretty much everything in my adult life was this. I realize how much, to this day, at my age, I'm still deceived. I'm going to buy another car, and I'm constantly re-looking at the same two cars, the same three cars. And then you read, oh, the 213 has this advancement over the 212, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I can't get the 2012. I got to get the 2013, no matter what. And then I realize I've been fed this bullshit since I was a little kid. Next year's model, the next one, the next this. And realistically, we hop in a Cadillac from the 50s. We hop in a Cadillac now. Sure, there's tons of advances. It's still the same fucking thing. It's a goddamn. It's not that much more advanced. I know safety features are a lot, but it's not. It's things don't jump ahead in leaps and bounds like I'm led to believe
the
they
iPhone
do.
Is, the iPhone.
The iPhone did.
That might be one of the only things in the world that leapt ahead. But there's some turning point. I was probably 7 or 8 years old when it kind of clicked, and it's like things aren't going to be wonderful and glorious and awesome and positive and nice. Things are going to suck. There's a lot of shit in the world.
I've also heard, since I've been a little kid.
I was so naive and I miss it.
Yeah, but I've also heard this one, which could be true, but I highly doubt it now at this age. With medical advances, you're going to live forever. By the time you get old.
Speaking of which.
They're going to be able to make you live forever.
We're getting closer to that really, more than ever before, though.
It's getting crazy.
It's getting crazy. It's a good chance you and I are going to live 90, despite what you told your insurance lady.
I'll take it as long as I have control of my bowels.
Mike at 90,
all
Jesus.
Right, dude.
As long as I'm not.
I'm mad at him for that.
I'm not wearing a diaper. I'm into it.
He's ironically going to be very nice and young and like a child wonderment in his older age.
Are you going to Benjamin Button it?
Much like my dad.
Button it?
Your dad kept trying to take Stanley from Lauren at your party.
Dad's the worst.
She was carrying him around. He's like, hey, you need me to take him from you?
Oh, he's just being nice. Okay.
He's trying to get a backhanded feel of your wife's boobs.
Drew got to my party like 45 minutes early because he had to leave early, so he got there early. And
I just figured I'd show up right in early.
He had a conversation with my dad, which I guess continues to haunt him because Dr. Drew's biggest fear in the world is his brain not working anymore, and my dad's brain clearly doesn't work. And Drew was telling me that he's been having nightmares and about not being able to learn. Like he had a nightmare where he quit everything and just went back to school because that's all he really wants to do. He said that's really, if he could do anything, that's what he would do. He would love to be able to just quit everything and go back to school and learn more shit. It's like, all right, Drew, you're smart. Settle down. And he says that he did all that.
Swirly.
He got back to class. He went back to school and he couldn't retain anything. I couldn't learn. that was a Drew nightmare right there for you. But
did you ask him how the sweet poontang is back at school?
Hey, Drew, can I come on your phone? Because I can't get into my own sweet poontang. Jesus Christ. So how would you two feel if you worked with somebody for a number of years, kind of your boss, but not really? You didn't get health insurance from this person or from your shitty job. They got the world, but you didn't really get anything. But you're still there. And they learn.
Is this just a hypothetical?
Hypothetical. Purely hypothetical. This person learns that your friend doesn't have health insurance. At the same time that they learn
about this,
and at the same time that they learn that you don't have health insurance, and they turn their back on you and just start talking to your friend about how he needs to get health insurance to the point where he drags him to a computer. Your friend, not you, who you work with this person, and you help him make his millions, but you don't get really shit. And then he turns his back on you, and then he drags your friend to the computer and actually gets health insurance for that person. How would that make you feel?
Not very good. The only thing I would say is that Mike was actually like describing something that was going on.
It's a good point.
And that he needed to go see the doctor.
Plus, he's got about 10 years on me. So
yeah,
Mike only has like 10 years left.
Wow.
I better start fucking.
Finish on the phone. Stop it.
What? me stop it?
No, you like know that, what? Actually. That problem is, I'm taking it very seriously because it doesn't
the problem
seem to be going
of the back turning. Yes. Here's my problem: is I'm the.
Wait, somehow I turned my back on
no,
you?
No, you didn't. You did not.
Yeah, you did. You sold us out to those chicks that were in here before the show last week.
What? What chicks?
Remember the weird text he sent us, and you're like, I'm so glad that you sent this to me and Tyler.
That's a whole different story.
I felt pretty bad about that.
That's a 10-minute story, though.
That's a 10-minute story?
It's two.
Maybe two.
2-minute story.
But it doesn't involve poontang. So we can't talk about it.
Why did I say that?
Why did you say it like that? It's is even so a better funny. Question.
I've never heard you say something like that.
I got to start. I haven't had a drink in like a week. That's my problem. Yeah. Well, since the party.
You were like, warriors, but with poontang. Basically what you did.
Poontang.
I was imitating someone, all right? I'm not to the point where I don't even know if I'm imitating people. I was doing shtick.
Wasn't there talk of remaking the Warriors like 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Anderson, what if you woke up and looked in the mirror and you were your dad?
That would be a good
and
twist.
All this time, it's just plot twist.
It'd be a good plot twist.
And then Dr. Drew comes in, he's your son. And he's like, off to school.
Full circle, back to what I was trying to talk about. I am the oldest of four. And I was my dad's favorite, a clear-cut favorite. He would never admit that, but
me too.
Dad's clear-cut favorite.
Yeah, my dad wouldn't admit it either. Didn't show any reason.
Not so much my mom's clear-cut favorite, but definitely dad's. But yeah, mom's, you know, I'm probably second favorite with mom, maybe third.
Brett first?
Here, this is the problem with my sister listening again, once again. Alicia, this is all hypothetical. I'm just making things up. Sorry. Okay.
That's why he isn't changing the names.
Exactly.
But I'm used to being, and now I find myself
you know it's true.
In this new faux family where Dr. Drew is dad, and Mike is my brother, and Tyler is my brother, and the other Mike is my other brother, and Adam Carolla is like my uncle, and I am like low on that totem pole. I'm like the one that Mrs. Pinsky went out and had an affair while he was on the road making a couple bucks, and I was born. I'm not related to Drew. I'm like his.
I don't like that you think.
That's how I feel, yeah.
Yeah, you're like the bastard son of the king who was like sent off to like work in the like fight the Vikings in Germany.
Don't try and get deep with me, sir, because I won't follow.
Don't you get
you lost
deep
me immediately with,
me.
With Viking King?
Hey, can we read Carano's text message?
All right, I don't think it has a good punchline, but okay,
it's a funny ass text.
All right, read it.
So we got this.
You
got
to set it up a little bit though, right?
I don't think it has a punchline at all.
Have to set it up because I didn't even know any of that happened.
I was the only one that was there for it.
Okay.
There was two people who were here for Love Line when we had wrapped up last
week. For the after show.
They were like guests of the guests, and they were just hanging out, and they're like, oh, you do something, what are you guys doing? And then Mike just like was like, it's a terrible show, don't listen. It's just something. It's like,
oh, I thought he was talking about Love Line.
No.
He was talking about our show?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's what I would expect you to say. I thought you were talking about Loveline.
I know, but I left and I went, you know what? I got to fucking stop saying that shit because
So at 8:45 in the morning, I woke up to a text.
The next morning.
Hey, I know I'm being psycho, but last night when those two women were in the control room, I dramatically told them how much the show sucks and that
they shouldn't
listen.
I didn't know you heard it.
Seemed funny for some reason. Then why'd you even apologize?
Continue reading.
I felt guilt.
That's even worse.
No, I felt guilt. I felt super...
Seemed funny for some reason. Hold on, I have to make a Vine. I'm 99% sure... I'm 99% sure it didn't come off as serious, but I just woke up to a nightmare about it. Not at all related to my soon-to-be jack-off-related death. Oh, point was, I feel shitty for saying that. I know it's not funny. What I'm really trying to say is if you don't hear from me by tomorrow, you need to break in and clear my browser history.
He ends with a joke. See, that's protection. He's protecting the truth there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're doing there, Mike. Oh, it's so creepy on the after show, Loveline show, where people call up with problems, but they're really intense problems, so they have that laughing mechanism where they kind of giggle about it, like we do about everything.
My dad fucked me last night.
And Drew calls him on it. Oh, it gets so uncomfortable.
What are you laughing at?
Why are you laughing? Nothing about this is funny. Nothing. And they're like,
do you hear yourself?
I don't know. Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
Drew, let them have their one coping mechanism. Jesus Christ.
That's what I was going to say.
Don't strip them down.
Therapist, he would be. This isn't funny. I came to you because I need help.
All right, we got to stop.
Well,
talking
stop about, laughing, you fucking loser. I'll rape you.
We got to stop talking.
Be here in like 8 minutes. We can just talk to him.
Yeah, I know. And then it's gonna be uncomfortable.
I want to explore
his
nightmares.
Because he'll sit down in that chair and he'll be like, "Tell me about 3 minutes with Mike and the cult," and that's all it'll be. Because Drew's one track fucking mind guy.
Do you have insurance yet?
I don't want to.
Mike, do you have insurance yet?
You need to
do
3 minutes with Mike about the cult not having insurance.
As soon as I'm getting insurance, I'm going straight to the doctor because I can't take this fucking piercing migraine every time I have an
orgasm. Oh, I just saw what happened. 2 months from now, Mike's going to come in with fucking paperwork in hand, insurance paperwork, and he'd be like, "Drew, need to talk to you about my stuff. I got insurance now. Let's sit down and talk. You're my doctor. You got to talk to me. I have insurance."
Does he have to by law? He has to talk to me.
Let's go. I have insurance.
I'm waiting for an appointment.
Mike, are you going to get like the most expensive insurance?
No.
I'm
getting one of the least expensive.
What if that was Drew's ploy? He's like, "Okay, now you have insurance. Now I can charge. You're in my HMO." Every time he talks to Mike or comes to the show, he's billing
him
for it.
He invites him on the Doctor Who podcast, and then Mike gets a bill.
That would be awesome.
That would be pretty great.
No, my insurance, I don't even understand it. It's not that much money, and there's a $5,000 deductible.
All right.
There really is, but...
You know what's better than insurance talk?
Poo-tang.
Yeah, poo-tang. But you get some kind of a super discount like on regular visits, apparently.
Yes, it's called a copay. Then you only pay like $10 instead of like $200.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It's called preventative medicine. Do we take a couple calls here? They're dropping like flies. Yeah. Hi, you're on the air.
Dropping like
disaster.
Cicadas.
How are
like
you?
Fucking rats eating cat shit.
Welcome to Pootie Tang Call. Hi, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? Swear to God, why do they call in and then
like it's their fault?
Hi, you're on the. Well, it is their fault. We talked to Kiwi Pie, didn't we?
JB Smoove is on the line.
Really?
Hey, you're on the After Disaster.
Wish
how
was.
Are you?
How great would that be?
Two down, four to go. Hi, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? Do you have the phone module up?
They're okay. Are up.
All right. Hello, you're on the After Disaster. How do you feel tonight?
Hey, this is Louis C.K., director of Pootie Tang.
Oh, that's right. Louis C.K. did direct that. That's why I brought it up. I thought we should talk more about Louis C.K.
Louis, you sound different.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of drunk right now, so whatever. Yeah,
Louis, where are you calling from, Louis?
Sacramento. Just did a show up here at the Comedy Spot.
It's kind of early to be drunk. I was hoping you'd say East Coast with a cicada so that like, at least it's 12:30 you're getting your drink on, but it's only 9:30, sir.
No.
What are you wearing?
I just wanted to call and say that I hate the show and that it's really depressing.
The show was?
Yeah, it was totally depressing.
Why?
Yeah, the cicada. The lone cicada.
What's depressing about tonight's show? I thought it was filled with Pootie Tang moments.
Everything about the show is depressing. Mike and his health insurance, jerking off, and getting headaches. Mm-hmm.
I can't do impressions. I can't do impressions, but here's Louis C.K. actually calling about the show.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I never listen to your show, and I'm not going to.
Oh gosh! No, seriously,
the guy who's got an insane amount of Twitter followers and follows no one. No, he follows Colin Quinn.
You really do what, sir?
I have a question for you guys.
What's up, Louis?
So I don't know how many episodes ago you guys were talking about shows like Workaholics and It's Always Sunny and how they're kind of making fun of being like a loser and a low life, and like kids are like, oh, you know, I want to be like those guys.
Yeah, it's when we were talking about Spring Breakers, I think is what catapulted us into that.
Well, I've been an avid listener of this show for the last couple of years, even back to the drinking days.
It's a very depressing show.
There's something stupid in my head where I'm like, oh, I want to do like Mike Carano. Like, oh, I don't.
I'm going to pull up my pants on Doheny.
I mean, who doesn't want to be like Mike Carano, though? You work like 3 hours a week.
Job application. I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to have this job and drink martinis all day and take photos of people.
It sounds like a glorious job. Yeah, it sounds very romantic.
If you could have my demeanor and his job, oh, the world is your oyster.
I'm not. Don't. Or ice, if I ever tried to make it seem like my job is miserable, I didn't mean to do that because I'm very fortunate.
No, there's off air, you're even worse than you are on air.
There's political aspects of it that I hate that fill me with hatred. Mm-hmm. And
you're like, I have to go and print stuff right now. I am so upset. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And it's like, you got to push print? Really? Yeah.
I got to touch things up, make them look good. You know?
Yeah, make them look nice.
That's how I live my life. Like, I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to drink all day. And maybe someone's going to give me a job. I'll make tons of money and buy a Honda.
Hey, Louie, what do you do when you're not on stage? What do you do for a living?
What do? I work at a hotel, unfortunately.
We have a lot of hotel callers.
Are you really in Sacramento?
Yeah.
Because I used to love Old Sac.
Why?
I don't know. I thought it was cool, man. There's a boat. There's a bridge.
Okay, you know, by like the river and stuff.
Yeah. Do they really just walk around calling it Old Sac and no one has a problem with that?
Old Sacramento.
Really?
Old Sac, East Sac, you know. It's what it is.
There's many sides to the Sac.
Did you guys lose your basketball team?
Nope.
No, I think we still have them, don't we?
It was, yeah, they're maybe going to Seattle.
That got shot down.
Yeah.
They did, though, change the name to the Kinglings.
I didn't hear that, but okay.
Get it.
It's true.
Were they really going
to? Joke. That's the name of the team.
They're going to be the Kinglings? No. Seattle Kinglings?
Shut up. You guys are talking about so many times.
They're the Old Sac Kinglings.
No way. They're going to be the Old Sac Kinglings. The old Sac and Dinglings? I don't get it. I'm confused. All right, thanks for telling us our show's depressing.
Yeah,
you want to be like Carano. Appreciate it.
I like
it. Is there anything on your phone?
What's that?
Just want to make sure there weren't any foreign substances on his phone.
Oh, like he was coming on it?
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Oh, yeah, it's not a foreign substance.
We're not that show, guys, and I apologize.
It's a domestic substance.
Hey, I understand.
Hey, Gregor. All right, so one more call, and then... What was wrong with the first three calls? Seriously.
I don't know.
Hey, it's fake Marcus. Fake Marcus, tell me this. Is that you? Do you have like some kind of... You work when you do this, and you have like five lines, and you tie up all the lines? Is that what happens?
Yeah, I'm a professional phone caller.
I wouldn't be shocked. Because like for
Follow
like six...
me at Real Marcus on Twitter.
Real Marcus. Do you really have a Twitter handle called Real Marcus?
At Real Fake Marcus.
The Fake Marcus.
Because there are too many other fake Marcuses that were trying to copy me, so I had to be the official Real Fake Marcus.
Do any of your friends know that there's this podcast you listen to where you pretend to be one of the people that copy?
How does Marcus feel about this?
Feels good about it.
He doesn't care.
How do you explain to people that, I pretend to be this guy Marcus?
He doesn't care because he's in San Diego doing what right now?
Catching some Z's. He needs that beater. He's got to get his eight hours.
It's true. He does sleep a lot, that man. No, I honestly thought that was maybe what was going on, was because I noticed you were like the first and only caller that we would get to more nights than not. And I'm like, you know what? All those other lines, maybe they're just him. Because I could do that. I could call, from here, I could call like, you know, nine different lines of another radio station. Oh, that'd be funny. That'd be really funny.
8 o'clock's not that.
Maybe you could just clear the lines every time we take calls.
Yeah, that's true. I should probably do that.
Like we're hoping there's other people queued up, ready to go.
We need to talk to the other fake Marcuses.
Thanks, fake Marcus, for closing out the show. I feel like the show is probably neat.
Oh, no problem.
Put a pin in it.
Yeah. San Diego. NASCAR.
Put up on the wall.
San Diego.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, not that music, Ty. That's so inside. For those of you who may not know, there's a caller from San Diego, one of our first and dearest callers named Marcus, who gives us sports reports poorly. And Tyler always plays Monday Night Football fucking music for him every time he calls.
Why are you explaining the Marcus bit?
Because there's a few people who feel very outside the bubble.
They didn't make it through this podcast.
Where'd that giant screw come from?
It's been sitting on this table for a while. Just last night on the film ball, I was in here with Baldy, and I was distracting him by going like this while he was trying to talk.
Did it work?
Yes. He's like, why are you doing that to the nut? I'm like, why'd you just say that? Now I have to explain it. There's a giant nut in here.
Hey, so we didn't figure out a way to give away that giant barf barf print. Do you want it?
The most money.
Do you want it?
I'd like to see it first.
I don't want it. There's a giant nut in here that would have it would need a giant screw to go into it. And it reminds me of those hardware places. Have you seen them where like they have the screw running away and the nut the nut's running away and the screw's like chasing it?
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet, right? It's like implying that the nut is a rape victim. The screw's going to right? How is that allowed? Have you seen it? You've seen what I'm talking about,
nuts
right?
And bolts. No one cares about the sexual rights of nuts and bolts.
Apparently not.
They don't.
I've seen that numerous times on numerous sides of buildings of hardware stores. And it's like, really, that's okay? Really? We have a rapist screw?
Rape, yeah.
Chasing a damsel into nut stress? That's okay?
It's not quite as bad as a skunk that rapes cats, but...
Oh, speaking of which...
How is that a speaking of which...
Said skunk, and the episode I was listening to from about 3.5 months ago, just recently, Mike's like, well, I have your script. I want to read Skunk Skull. And I'm like, because I'm not looking forward to the uncomfortability of you having it for months, me wondering if you've read it.
No!
And you probably haven't, and it's going to be awkward. That won't happen, I promise. Here we are.
Oh.
Months later.
Oh. He doesn't know what to do. He's just hoping that the show will end and we'll turn off the mics and walk away.
It's very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he doing anything?
Especially considering, you know, what our other project would help the process. Mike and I have a project, and Mike, this is it. Mike and I have a project, and we had a very good meeting. The initial meeting was in a restaurant. It was very professional, even though someone was over listening to us.
Lots of restaurant meetings.
And then we were in the parking lot after the pretty productive meeting that we had about this project. And Mike, I don't know if you realize that you said this, but it's rang out in my head at the time, and it's rung out numerous times since. He said these exact words. There's a much better chance of us never doing this than us actually doing it. And he was 100% serious. And you know what? I kind of agree. But I'm not going to let that happen. Fuck that. No. We're going to do this. Yeah. Do that conviction tie that? No, we can't talk about cults or 3 minutes with Mike. Show's over. Show's ended. It's done. Dunskies. Plus, Mike's catatonic because he's awkward. Tie. Kyler just sent in Drew.
I want to hear about nightmares.
Go ahead.
I don't know why I feel like if I don't talk, this whole issue is going to go away.
It pretty much did. With Drew being in here now, it all just gets derailed.
May that be.
He's very uncomfortable because I asked him if he's read my script or not yet.
He gave me the script, and I gave him my word. I go, I'm not going
to
just.
I told
it.
Him
I didn't want to give it to him,
Drew, because I didn't want to put up with the uncomfortability of him not reading it or
he
not.
He hasn't lied yet. It's not as though he died without having read it.
This is what I'm talking about. The favorite child. It takes effect.
But, hey, why don't you tell Dr. Drew about your
how
you feel?
No. No.
I'm talking about the new second family hierarchy.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't want to talk about. What else would I be talking about? I feel like I we're all children, Drew, and I'm the product of a one night stand that your wife had.
Out of context.
That sounds way worse than it was supposed to.
That's how I said it.
No, he sounds like a bastard child.
Yeah, kind of like I'm a bastard child.
Why do you feel like my child at all?
Because we're all like your children.
No.
Tyler's like your child.
No.
You're
when not. You put it, I have children.
Uncle Adam Carolla. Oh, yeah. It's a big family, Drew.
You don't know what you're in. Well, this is a family.
This is a family. You know, and he's your favorite. Mike's the oldest and the favorite. And followed closely by Mike Catherwood. But Mike Carano's your favorite. And you found out one of your kids didn't have health insurance. And, health insurance.
Did you do it?
I got the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. That was a no. He has insurance.
He was too busy telling all of his
I've ever taken. I have the paperwork in front of me, and I spoke on the phone with the woman.
Oh, that's good.
And
he told her everything's wrong with him.
I started telling her what's wrong with me. She's like, I'm not a doctor. I'm like, there's this crick in my knee. I don't think I need to get that checked out. And then I realized, just shut up.
Yes, just shut up and fill the damn paperwork out and send it
in. I'm doing it.
And he's reading your script. Those are all things he's doing.
No, the irony there, Drew.
No, you
is
don't,
I said,
you don't
I,
understand.
He's like, give me your script. I want to read your
what
script.
What don't I understand?
You don't understand.
And
this
I said, I don't want to give
for
you
me the fact that I actually spoke to somebody and the fact that
We're
I actually have paper.
Things.
That's 85% of it. Because I normally would never get even close to that far. The fact right. that I've actually got the paperwork from her,
shows
and
up.
Went over the plans with her, and discussed every aspect that could come up with, is a very big step.
Okay. Where are you going? Where are you going, bastard?
Yeah, where are you going?
I gotta go. I gotta work.
Are you off the air?
Is this little thing still on?
I think we're...
I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, all right.
Just because you fucked him up by telling me he's a bastard.
I didn't tell him that.
Because it's gold.
He made it up himself.
He made it up himself?
And he called you bastard.
No, he didn't make it up. He was talking about how he felt. And
like,
then
a, like a bastard.
Yeah.
I'm a bastard in a basket. All right, goodbye, everyone.
Is Tyler on acid tonight?
No.
Oh, I've got a great article for you.
What?
I've got an article in my pants. Hold on a second. Whoa. In my pocket. Oh. In my pocket. Article in his
pants.
Read
cover
the
Anderson's mouth before
just
he says something.
I actually brought this in for Kathy with it, but this will be better for you.
All right, it's an article.
It's from Medical Journal.
Keep in mind that I'm blind and I can hardly see it. It says, self-inflicted testicular amputation and first lysergic, or how does
LSD.
That? Oh, okay. Self-inflicted testicular amputation in first LSD use. Wow.
That means he took a tab of LSD and tore off his own testicles.
Wow. Now,
so don't think about doing any acid, Mike.
When you,
it's been well documented that it can do, that can happen.
Did
after.
You have some kind of, sort of feeling I was going to all of a sudden?
There's a lot of guys cutting their nuts off.
Now that I'm not drinking,
there are a lot of guys cutting the nuts off taking acid. But this is the first reported case after very first exposure.
Oh, is this a new article?
Yeah.
Is that in Nut LSD is Weekly?
Is this a fancy thing like the New England Journal of
it's
Medicine?
It's actually a Journal of Addiction Medicine, I think.
I'm on acid right now, and I still have both notes.
Journal of Addiction Medicine.
They print that on nice paper.
Thank you.
Like, how often does that come out?
I think it's every 2 months.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a weekly thing.
No. Anyway, this is for Mike.
Yeah, that's that doesn't surprise me, though, because there's people that do stupid stuff on alcohol. That fall off and spear their eye on a pole or something. I guess we're off.
Are we done?
They get bored.